Amen. What a blessing that was, and what a blessing it's been just to be in church today. And I trust that you have a sense of the presence of the Lord in this place. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, and not only for our own church family, but for anybody that comes through the doors. Because if you came through the doors, whether you realize it or not, God was working and leading you to come to be a part of the service. And we want, Lord, to use this church to minister to anybody that would come through the doors. And so what a blessing it's already been just being here. And yet we have the best yet to come is when we open up the Word of God according to God's plan and have a preacher stand up and just preach what the Word of God says. And looking forward to that, we have Brother Tommy Oden and Tommy's wife, Carolyn. For all the ladies that were here for the conference, you know her quite well. Carolyn, why don't you go ahead and stand? I'd like to honor you this morning. It's good to have you. Praise the Lord. And she spoke at the ladies' conference and did a great job. And then Brother Tommy agreed to come and be a part of our Sunday services. So he's going to be here. He was taught in Sunday school. He's preaching this morning. He'll be also preaching in our evening service tonight. And so we are very blessed. Brother Tommy pastors the First Baptist Church in Broward County, Florida, which is right outside of Fort Lauderdale, and just got a thriving church. They just finished a brand new church auditorium, a new building there, and the church is growing and doing the work that God's called them to do there in Florida. And so we're excited about having Brother Tommy come and preaching for us this morning. So Brother Tommy, if you would.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ted. It's a joy and a privilege to be here today. Carol and I always enjoy being at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And we love your pastor and his wife. They are an encouragement and a blessing to us. And I'm never around Pastor Ted that I don't learn something. He's always teaching and always guiding. He's been such a good influence in my life. And I admire him. It's amazing to me that a pastor, as busy as he is, doing all that he's doing, can still find time to run for Vice President of the United States of America. And I admire you, brother. I'm praying for you. No, I'm just kidding. But I do appreciate Brother Ted and his dear wife. And Carolyn and I were just talking the other day, what an encouragement you are to us. And I'm almost 40 years old. I'll be 40 next year, Lord willing. And it's good to have pastors and their wives that counsel and love and guide, are just friends to young pastors, and we appreciate that so much. As Pastor Ted mentioned, we're in South Florida between Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Please pray for us. We have alligators, hurricanes, and Zika down there, and pray we'll survive all of that, seriously. But God's doing a work down there at our church. We thank God for His great work, and we just built a new facility, as He said, what used to be a cow pasture, and by God's glory and by God's grace, there's a building on it now, and I don't know how many times I walked around that cow pasture and claimed it for the glory of God, and I knew about where we wanted to build the building. I'd walk out there and find where the pulpit would be and the altar area, and I'd bow out there and pray. And there's little cows in the field now, and they come over and look at me and stare at me while I'm there. But anyway, God's been good, and God's helped us to see people saved and people growing in the Lord. If you're ever down in Fort Lauderdale area, come and see us. We'd love to greet you. And the spirit of this church reminds me so much of our church back home. And by the way, hasn't the music been powerful today? And praise God, my heart, I was up here on the front row. I had a front row seat for all that. And boy, as they just lifted up the Lord today, my heart was so blessed and encouraged. And praise God for that. I'm so glad to have Suzanne Raper here today. And Suzanne's a member of our church back home. So we got a little bit of home here today. And I have to behave myself, Suzanne. I have to behave myself, or you'll tell everybody, right? But also good to have her sister, Cheryl. And Suzanne spends part of the year up here in the Richmond area, and Cheryl lives here in the Indianapolis area. We're so glad to have them with us today. Let's take our Bibles together this morning and open up to the 84th Psalm, Psalm 84. And if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word all across the auditorium today. Psalm 84, and we're going to read the entire chapter. I'll read aloud as you follow along. Beginning in verse number 1, Psalm 84, and beginning in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I want to preach this morning on this subject, the greatness and the goodness of our God. The greatness and the goodness of our God. Would you pray with me this morning as we ask God's blessing upon the preaching of His Word? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the privilege that we have to assemble together in this place today with Your people. It has already been a special time to come together and worship You in the singing, the fellowship, the giving today. And now, Father God, we ask Your blessing upon the preaching of Your Word. We recognize today that You have ordained Bible preaching to speak to our hearts and to help us. And Father, I need Your help today to be a Spirit-filled preacher, and I ask You for that. I ask that all of us would be Spirit-filled listeners and that we would hear the Word today and not just hear it, but then do it to obey it. And Lord God, speak to every heart according to Your will. I pray this morning, if there be anyone here at all today, whether in this service or in the children's services, that does not know You in a personal way, if they're not sure heaven's their home, may today be their glad day of salvation. And for those of us that are saved, speak to our hearts. Help us to take that next step for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The greatness and the goodness of our God. Robert Murray McShane was a Scottish preacher that lived many, many years ago. And I love what he said about the greatness of our God. He said, "The longer I live, the more I realize how wretched I am and how great God is." Boy, is that ever true. And the more you get to know God and the more you walk with God, the more you realize how wretched you are and how great He is. I like what John Newton said. John Newton was the man, the pastor that lived many years ago as well, that wrote the great hymn, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." And John Newton, on his deathbed, he was losing his memory. He was losing his earthly facilities. But he said this, "Although my memory is fading, I can still remember two things very clearly." He said, "I remember that I am a great sinner and Jesus is a great Savior." We serve a great God today. I remember reading years ago about a group of American pastors that decided to take a trip across the Atlantic Ocean to England. And this was back over 100 years ago in the days of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Perhaps many of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon. He was a well-known pastor in London. And there was another church across town pastored by a man named Parker. And these two churches were very well known in their day. And so this group of American pastors decided to travel across the ocean and to see these two great churches. And they did. They visited both of them. They went to Parker's church on Sunday morning, and they went to Spurgeon's service on Sunday night. And they went there a few times during the weeks that they were there. And they came back to the United States, and people asked these preachers, they said, "What did you think? What did you think of Parker's church? And what did you think of Spurgeon's church?" And here's what they said. They said, "When we left Parker's church, we all said, 'Wow, what a great sermon. What a great sermon.' But when we left Spurgeon's church, we all said, 'Wow, What a great Savior. What a great Savior. And I want to tell you, folks, what makes the difference in our churches is when people know we serve a great Savior. We have a great God. It is our responsibility as the church to lift up the greatness of our God, to lift up the name of Jesus. The church is called to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. A pillar is something that's designed to hold something up. And the church is called to hold up the truth of God's Word, the truth of God's Son. And what makes a church special is when a church lifts up the great God that they serve. Why we've enjoyed the service this morning is not just because of a church here that has great musical talent. And this church, by the way, does have some great musical talent. I'll tell you, you got something special here. You ought to praise God for that. But what makes this church special and what has made this service special is not just a people with great talent. It's the people with the talent that are lifting up a great God. Amen. That's what makes us special. That's the most beautiful thing about a church. It's not the people. It's not the pastor. It's not the facilities. The most beautiful thing about a New Testament local church is our great Savior. And that is what we must lift up. And that is what we must pursue. And that is what we must promote in our services as our great God. The psalmist, I love Psalm 84. He speaks about the greatness and the goodness of our God. I want to show you a few things that bless my heart as I study this chapter. Notice with me, first of all, in this psalm, we find a great description of our God. A great description. Now, if I tried to describe our God today, I could never get it done in just a few minutes. As a matter of fact, you couldn't get it done in a few lifetimes. Amen? You couldn't fully describe our God in 1,000 lifetimes. That's how great He is. His ways are above our ways. But I love how the Bible describes God in different places. And in Psalm 84, we find a great description of our great God. I want you to look at it with me in verse 11. Look how the psalmist describes God. He uses illustrations or object lessons here. Look at verse 11. He uses two things. For the Lord God is a what? A sun and a shield. Now, I've read through that many times and just kind of gone through it and read through it. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. But the other day, I got to studying that a little bit and it blessed my heart. Why would the psalmist say that the Lord God is a sun? S-U-N, like the sun in the sky. As a matter of fact, if you study the Bible, you'll find out that the Lord is described as a sun many times. In the Bible, God is described as the sun. So I got thinking about that. How is God like the sun? And you know, I thought about this. The sun, the S-U-N, the sun in the sky, earthly speaking, gives light. And that's like our God. Amen? God gives light. God wants to illuminate the path for our feet. God wants to show us the way. God has illuminated our life and our path with His Word. The Bible says, thy Word, the Word of God, in Psalm 119, 105, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is a sun because He is our light. But then I thought about this. Not only does the sun give light, the sun gives life. I started studying that a little bit. And did you know, science teaches us the importance of the sun as far as for our atmosphere and our life. Did you know that if the sun stopped shining, things would begin to die on earth immediately? Did you know that? In a matter of a few days, they say, if the sun ceased to shine, in a matter of a few days, practically every living thing on earth would die. The sun gives light, and the sun gives life. And I want to tell you this morning, there is no eternal life outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Our great God is a sun. He gives light, and He gives life. He gives everlasting life. And if you want to know everlasting life, you must come through Jesus. Jesus Christ said of himself in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. God is a son. God gives light. God gives life. But then I thought about this. You know, the son gives leading. It gives leading. As a matter of fact, of course, when we watch the sun set here on earth, and we have beautiful sunrises and sunsets in the state of Florida. But when nighttime comes, you can't see the sun. I got thinking about that. When night comes, you can't see the sun. But did you know that even when you can't see the sun, it's still there? It's still doing its job. It's still shining. And by the way, the sun does more than shine and give light and life. The sun keeps the earth in its orbit. The sun's gravitational pull keeps everything together. If the sun quit doing its job, Earth would just fly out into the solar system, into the galaxy, without any aim. It would just take off. And I got thinking about this. Even when we can't see God, He's still at work. You know, I love, spiritually speaking, I love it when I'm in the sunshine and everything's great and God's blessing and I'm on the mountaintop and the warm sun's shining in my face. I love that, but I also know that there's times in life that the night comes and the midnight watches come. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're going through battles, you're going through hard times, you're going through difficulties, and it seems like midnight has come and everything's dark, just remember, God is still on His throne. God is still doing His job. God has you in His hands, and He's guiding your life. God is the Son. That's a great description of God, isn't it? Amen. But then the psalmist says, not only is He a Son, God is a shield. I love that. God is a shield. This speaks of God's protecting work in our life. Aren't you glad that God's watching out for you? Amen. If you're a child of God today, you are His child. He loves you. He protects you. He guards you. You find your refuge in Him. As a matter of fact, twice in the psalm, Psalm 84, the psalmist speaks of God as a shield. Verse 9 says, behold, O God, our shield. Not only twice in Psalm 84, but 17 times in the book of Psalms, God is called our shield. And listen, I don't know what all battles you may be facing this morning. I don't know what all fiery darts Satan has aimed at your life perhaps today. I don't know what attacks may be coming your way today. But I know this, we have a God who is a shield today. Amen. And there's nothing this old world and the devil and the enemies of God's people can hurl our way that's greater than our God who is a shield. He's a shield. He protects us. He guards us. But as I was studying about this shield, when the psalmist wrote this, of course, back in these Old Testament days, in the days of David and so on, they would take these shields to battle. And they would have the smaller type shields they would hold for hand-to-hand combat. And then there were larger shields. They had all different types of shields that they used. Interesting study. And sometimes they would have a man, his only job was to hold the shield out in front of the man fighting and so on. But what was that shield designed to do? That shield was designed to absorb the punishment that was intended for the soldier, right? A shield is designed to absorb that enemy attack that is intended for the soldier. And as I was reading about that a little bit and studying about shields in Old Testament days, I read an interesting thing. I read that back in those days, soldiers, when they would get done with their years of battle, and they would retire from being soldiers, they would often take their shields that they had used in battle, and they would keep them like we would keep a trophy today. And what I was reading said they would hang them up in their homes with all the marks and all the gashes of war that were upon those shields. And they would have friends over and they would say, look at this gash right here. This was an Ammonite or an Amalekite. And he swung his sword and the shield caught it. See that gash right there? And they would describe the wounds, the marks of battle that were intended for them but were absorbed by the shield. Are you listening to me today? Did you ever wonder why You know when Jesus rose from the dead? You know that? He rose from the dead. He got his glorified body, right? I mean, I can't wait to get a glorified body. I'm looking forward to it. Amen? By the way, I'm glad Jesus ate with the disciples after he rose from the dead, because that means we're going to be able to eat in our glorified bodies. Yes, amen. Praise God for that. But I mean, he walked through doors. Jesus walked into rooms that the doors were closed in his glorified body. He got a new body when he rose from the dead, right? Did you ever wonder why? Why does the body of Jesus still bear the marks of the cross? Somebody once said, the only man-made thing in heaven are the wounds and the marks on Jesus' body. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples. You remember that story? And he said to Thomas, look at the wounds in my hands and my feet. Thrust your hand into my side. The resurrected body of Jesus still bears the marks of the cross. Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, God could have just wiped those away, right? He could have been made whole anew. Here's my thought on it. I think Jesus' body bears those marks because for all of eternity, when we look at him in heaven, every time we look at Jesus in heaven and we see those wounds, we're going to say, that's the only reason we're here is because he went to the cross for us. Jesus became our shield at the cross. And the punishment that was intended for me and that I deserve was absorbed by Jesus Christ at the cross. And he's our shield. And for all of eternity, we can look at him and say, see those marks on Jesus? I deserve those. But he took the wrath of God that I deserved. He took the punishment that I deserved. Oh, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Our shield, Jesus, took the punishment we deserved. Praise God. It's a great description of God. He's a son, and he's a shield. But then not only does the psalmist give a great description of our great God, number two, he shows us the desire of our God. Look again with me in Psalm 84, verse 11. The Bible says here, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Watch this. The Lord will give. Isn't it amazing to you that God gives? You know, God doesn't have to give. God deserves to receive. Amen? But our God is a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It amazes me that this great God we've been talking about this morning, he loves us and he wants to give to us. Look on. The Lord God will give grace and glory. God wants to give you and give me grace and glory. If you're taking notes this morning, beside the word grace, you ought to write strength for today. That's what grace is. Grace is strength for today. God's grace helps me do what I could never do on my own. Thank God for his grace this morning. And then beside glory, I want you to write this. Beside glory, write hope for tomorrow. You know what God wants to give you today and give me today? He wants to give you strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Strength for today and hope for tomorrow. That's our great God. It's amazing to me that this great and wonderful God, who's a sun, he's a shield, he's the mighty Lord of hosts, he loves you and he loves me and he desires to give to us grace and glory. Look on, there's more. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I look at this and I see the completeness of God's blessings. Look what it says. No good thing. Did you know every single thing you need in your life, God has in his hand? There's not one thing in your life you need that our great God cannot provide for you and for me. No good thing. The completeness of God's blessing. But then secondly, notice there, the requirement for God's blessings. This is important. Look what it says. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You say, well, I want God's blessing in my life. All right. Then be blessable. I don't even know if that's a word. Amen? but it makes sense to me. Be blessable. God will not bless a mess. When we're disobedient, we hinder the blessings of God in our lives. Now, God is always good, don't get me wrong. But there are many blessings that God desires to bring to our lives that He holds back because of our sin and disobedience. I don't want anything in my life to hinder the blessings of God upon me. We must walk uprightly. God desires to bless us with good things. God desires to give us grace and glory. He wants to give us strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Praise God. What a great God we serve today. So in this psalm, we find a great description, a description of God. We find a great desire. God desires to bless us. God desires to anoint our lives with His blessing. But then number three, in this chapter, we find a great decision. And here it is. Here's the whole message now. This is the application. The psalmist has surveyed in this psalm how great God is, how good God is, how great He is, and how great He acts in our life, the goodness and the greatness of God. And I want you to notice something. The psalmist says, when I realize how great God is and what God has done for me, he says, number one, I must seek Him. Look back in Psalm 84, verse 2. The Bible says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The psalmist says, this great God, this God who's a sun and a shield, this God who desires to bless me, he says, He's been so good to me, I must seek Him. And I want to encourage you today, child of God, when you realize how good God's been to you, and I realize how good God's been to me, it ought to make us desire to seek Him. We ought to be seeking God with a heart that fainteth for Him. The psalmist says, my soul longeth and fainteth for the courts of the Lord. There ought to be a hunger and a thirst and a desire to know God in a greater way. The psalmist said, because of the greatness of God, I will seek Him. And number two, I will serve Him. Look down in Psalm 84 again and notice with me in verse number 10. I love this verse. The Bible says here in verse number 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Praise God. One day in God's will is better than a thousand days outside of God's will. How many of you can say amen to that today? Praise God. Then he goes on and he says, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. A doorkeeper in that day was a lowly position. It was a servant's position. And the great psalmist here, who had much authority in the kingdom, he says, I'd rather be a servant in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Did you know there's no higher position in the church than the position of a servant? It is a great and high and holy privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. You say, Pastor, He's a great God. Yes, He is. And you know what? He deserves your life. He deserves your service. He deserves a holy life. The great God who loved us and saved us deserves a dedicated child who will follow Him and serve Him. You know, God's been way too good to me for me to ever turn my back on Him. God has been too good to this preacher for me to ever turn away from His will in my life. As a matter of fact, God was blessing me before I was ever born. Amen? God was blessing me before I was ever around. Think about it. God saved my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and they passed down a heritage into my life. My mom and dad met at church. They met at Bible Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, on Northwest 7th Avenue, Miami, Florida. They met there and were saved there, same church that Wanda Wood was saved in, Pastor Frank Wood's wife. And when I was growing up, I had heard my dad talk about how he met my mother at church. They grew up in the children's departments together, and they ended up, you know, dating and falling in love and getting married. And I always thought that was amazing that my parents met like that growing up. And so when my grandmother, my dad's mother, was about 84 years of age, she was getting up in years and she was losing her health and she was about to go to heaven. And my dad and I drove over from Naples to Miami that day and we took her out to eat. And so we were sitting there and I said, Grandma, I said, you know, I've heard that Mom and Dad met at Bible Baptist Church. Of course, the rest is history. You know, they got married. I'm here. I said, Grandma, how did you end up going to Bible Baptist Church? I knew on my mom's side that her parents, my grandparents on that side, were charter members of that church. They helped start that church in 1950. But on my dad's side, my dad grew up in a broken home. His real father had died in a car accident when my dad was only 1 year old, so he never knew his real father. And my grandmother, who was unsaved at the time, had remarried a man who was also lost, and he became a drunkard, an alcoholic. He was abusive. My dad grew up in a home like that. So I said to this grandma, I said, how did you end up going to Bible Baptist? And my dad looked across the table, and he said, yeah, Mom, how did we end up going there? He had never heard this story until this time that we asked her. I'm so thankful that we asked her this story, because she shared it, and she died about a year and a half later. She said, well, here's what happened. She said, James, you're about 8 years old. That's my dad, 8 years old. My Uncle Jerry is about seven, and my Aunt Charlotte is about five. She said, Pawpaw, that was my dad's stepdad, he was just causing us all kind of trouble. She said it was awful. The home was awful. She said, I had grown up Presbyterian but never been saved. And she said, I got to the end of my rope, and I said, you know what? My last gasp, I'm just going to try to find a church and try to find God and find help. She said, I got you kids up on a Sunday morning, and I got you all dressed, and we headed out the front door, and Papa said, where are you going? And she said, John, I'm taking them to church. And he says, you're not taking to church in my car. You can't take the car if you're going to go to church. I said, all right. Then we'll take the bus. We'll take the city bus. And Dad said, Mom, I thought we rode a church bus to church. She says, no, we rode a city bus. She said, we walked from 109th Avenue, or the 109th Court and 17th Avenue, over to 7th Avenue, 10 blocks. She said, we walked to the bus stop. And she said, I knew there was a bunch of churches on 7th Avenue in Miami. She said, there's churches south, there's churches north. She said, I told the kids, she said, whichever bus comes first, we'll take it. If the northbound bus comes first, we'll cross the street, get on the bus, and go north. If the southbound bus comes first, we'll take it south. And the first church we come to, we'll go into. Now, you got to understand, I'm sitting there listening to this story. And I know the rest of the story, right? And I'm thinking, okay, my entire existence as a human being was determined by which bus came first. And like this revelation's happening in my mind, and she says, I guess you're right. She says the northbound bus came first. We crossed the street, we got on, went about five blocks north. Bible Baptist Church. Thank God for Bible Baptist Church. Right there on the west side of the road. So we got off, we walked across and down the sidewalk, and we walked in. Brother George Zimmer got up and preached. He was an old friend of John Rawlings years and years ago, 1950s. He got up and preached, and I said, did you get saved the first service you went to church? She says, no, I didn't get saved. I got mad. She said, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. It was very, very calm, very orderly. She said, that Baptist preacher got up and yelled and shouted and spit. She said, I got mad at him. She said, he had an invitation. He said, raise your hand for this, raise your hand for that. She said, I didn't raise my hand for anything. She said, they stood up to sing the invitation. I wouldn't even stand up for that. She says, but God worked in my heart, and I went back the next Sunday, and I got saved. And I thought, you know, people might look at that story and say, wow, what a coincidence. that she decides to ride the city bus and just happen to walk through the doors of an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And then, you know, your dad gets saved and meets your mom in that church. And now here you are. Listen, with God, there's no coincidence. The providence of an almighty God. And I serve a God today, and I preach a God today who loves me and who is at work on my behalf before I was ever born. And you think I could turn my back on a God like that? When we realize how great God is, it should drive us to seek Him, to serve Him, to follow His will for our life. May God bless it today. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for Your greatness. We thank You for Your goodness. As the psalmist wrote many, many years ago, You are a good God. And You are a great God. We recognize Your greatness in the fact that You are a sun and You are a shield. We recognize Your desire to bless our lives with grace and glory. All good things. You desire to bless our lives as we obey You and serve You. And Lord God, I pray today that Your goodness and Your greatness would stir in our hearts as it did in the psalmist of days gone by, and that when we realize how great You are, how good You've been to us, that we would seek You, that we would pursue You with all of our hearts, and that we would serve You. God, forgive us for disobedience. Forgive us for not having a heart for You. Bless, we pray, the preaching of Your word. In Jesus' name.